So why aren't more SMMEs getting access to finance? We hear that talk, jaw, that, oh no, there's lots of money available. No, there's plenty of money available. There's always money available for good ideas. But the biggest complaint we get from anybody who's ever tried to raise finance is there's no finance available. If you remember, Nick Haralambos, the guy who started Nick Harry Socks, was a regular on The Money Show, and he upset lots of you. He was fabulous. I miss him. But he's on to other things now. But Nick would say things like, you know, there's plenty of money available. If you're not getting funding, it's because your idea isn't good enough. And maybe that is true. Or maybe you don't pitch properly. Or maybe you don't formulate your idea into a way that is investable. Just because you think your idea is wonderful and you work very hard and you're exhausted, it doesn't mean that anyone else is going to be willing to risk their capital. Well, the SAB Foundation, for a very, very long time, has been helping entrepreneurs and social innovators to grow their businesses. And it's got a system and a process of how it goes about it. It's got 110 million rand a year. So there's money available. What you've got to do, however, is impress them. Bridget Evans is with us. Bridget is executive director at the SAB Foundation. This perpetual problem of not being able to raise money for SMMEs. What's at the core of the problem here, Bridget? Have I touched on any nerves, any incorrect assumptions, or am I roughly in the ballpark of what's actually going on?
No, I think you're exactly in the ballpark. I think that there is a lot of money available, but there are way too many entrepreneurs that won't be able to access that funding. And so there is a mismatch, you know. So on the one hand, you've got, you know, even like the banks, for example, the banks all made commitments to the government that they would allocate a certain amount of money to investing in SMMEs. And as far as I know, is most of them have really, really struggled to do that. And actually, many of them haven't invested any of that money at all. My experience, so we, as you said, you know, we've been working with entrepreneurs for a long time, and our programs, they really try and help entrepreneurs in a number of different ways. So it's all the usual things, skills training, access to markets, mentoring, plus some catalytic funding. So we've been doing that for a very long time. And last year, we introduced a loan fund because we kept hearing from so many SMMEs that they cannot access loan finance. So, I mean, I'll be honest and put my head on the chopping block here and say, well, we thought, oh, well, you know we can do it better. And we are going to offer affordable interest rates and lend to entrepreneurs. And what we discovered was that it was
how
so
were you
difficult.
Schooled? How were you schooled, Bridget? Why is it so difficult? Because here you are. You've got a big pool of cash. There are lots of people looking for cash, but there is a chasm between you. What is causing the chasm?
Okay. So just to be clear, we philanthropically, we have no problem, you know, spending that budget every year. And we help over 100 entrepreneurs a year. The challenge becomes when other people give you their money and they want that money back, and you actually then want to lend to these businesses. What we discovered very quickly was that almost every single one of them has no financial records or such poor financial records that you actually can't, there is no ways you can make an investment decision given the records that they have. Now, these are not they're not necessarily startups. These are businesses, some of them like have been operating for like 10 years. And the entrepreneur has managed to keep this business afloat during all sorts of tough times that have been thrown at us, but they're still not investable. And the reason is because of this financial record issue. And it is, you know, initially I thought, was it just us? But then I started speaking to multiple other people who, you know, operate in a similar environment to us around investing in SMMEs. Everyone said exactly the same thing. They all have the same challenges.
One doesn't blame, one does blame people, because you're asking for public money and you're then complaining that you can't raise public money, but you can't prove what it is you do, how you've done it, and how effective you are at doing it. That's your responsibility as a business owner. It's tough and horrible to say, but here you've got a lot of people who are forced into entrepreneurship because they've got no choice because there aren't any jobs. So they go and make a plan, and actually they're pretty good at what they do. What they're not good at is the boring stuff, and I fully understand this. Oh my goodness me, there is the amount of clutter and nonsense that you're expected to do each and every single year, and the expense of doing it when you do it properly is prohibitive micro-enterprise. It really is, and frustrating, and it's the part of my life that I hate most is admin. But if you don't do the admin, you're not going to get the money that you need.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know what, a lot of entrepreneurs who do have a little bit of disposable income, they outsource it to an accountant. And the problem that we see is the accountants, an accountant, first of all, you know, they don't interpret numbers. So they're not like a financial director that interprets those numbers and is able to make decisions about the future of that company based on those numbers. All they see their job as being is just writing the numbers down. And so it doesn't give the entrepreneur any insight into their business and how it's doing. And so, yeah, for the most part, and that's what we would love to see change, is there is clearly a psychological issue associated with numbers. And it's actually something that I'm going to research this year, is really try and get to the bottom of it. I think
it's a fundamental thing here, Bridget. I'm making an assumption here. Your research may or may not back this up. But here's the problem, is we've got a schooling system that's not equipping people even simply for the basic realities of the world. If you ever did do accounting, then maybe you've got a chance of interpreting your own numbers. But there is a huge gap here for accountants to offer a service at a reasonable rate to say, this is all the information you've given us. From the information that you've made available, and this is the picture we've got of your business. This is what this means. This is what this means. So when you go to raise the funding, and we can come with you perhaps as part of the service, we can help the funders understand how we deduced this analysis of your financial performance. Because until the entrepreneur understands that part of their business, they understand how to make the widget that is sold, and they understand how to collect the money, but they don't understand how to report it in a way that is useful to people like yourself who say, I've got a bucket of money to give you if you can convince me that it's a good bet. And without that conviction, you can't.
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. I mean, First National Bank has been like really, they are the biggest bank that lends to SMMEs, and they use bank statements to make their decisions about lending. But, you know, that's not the case with a lot of people. And so at least what they have done is they've understood that this financial record keeping is a big issue, and they're able to make good lending decisions off the back of the bank statements. But that's only the case for people who bank with them, you know? And I completely agree with you. It's very obviously an education issue. But I also think that, you know, financial services is a very alienating thing. You know, as you've quite rightly said, people are not trained in accounting speak. And it's a kind of a language that is very exclusive. And I came across a tool a little while ago, which is really clever. Basically, it takes out all the accounting jargon, and it says, money I owe, who owes me, kind of thing. It uses language like that, money in, money out, whatever. And it allows an entrepreneur, and then what it does is it actually does the proper accounting stuff in the background so that the entrepreneur doesn't have to worry about that stuff. All they have to do is just put in the basic numbers or get anyone in their team to put in those numbers. And I think that we need more things like that.
No, exactly right. I mean, debits and credits. I mean, the thing is, you get a credit card and a debit card. Then you've got a debit and a credit on your financial statements. And goodness knows whether the two are similar or different. And you have no idea. So you just turn a blind eye, because the moment anybody speaks to you in a language that you cannot comprehend, then you just find yourself alienated. And if you're alienated, you can't relate. You want to be able to go into, and I know that this is not the real world, so don't shout at me, but the Dragon's Den type pitch, where you've got four or five very smart people who have seen every trick in the book, who've got money to invest, want to not only see that the people who are presenting to them are good at what they do, but they understand the result of what they do. And so when they ask them a slightly technical question, they want them to be able to deliver an answer specifically to the question, not go around beat about the bush, and because that immediately tells your investor that you don't understand and that you actually are a big financial risk. And until you can do that, you're not going to get the backing. And it's such a wonderfully eye-opening discussion for me this evening, Bridget. It's something I think intuitively I've believed, but it's good to have your experience in this backing it up.
Yeah, I mean, it's an absolutely prolific problem. And it's so sad because, you know, we either have to change the way we assess risk completely, turn it on its head, and I can't see that happening with your traditional financial services, or we have really got to hone in on this issue and try and change this picture, because it's such a tragedy when you think about it. Like entrepreneurs, if they can't grow, they're not going to create jobs. They, you know, and it's kind of, there's a big mismatch between people who've got capital to lend and not being able to lend it because they, you know, the entrepreneur can't give them any financial information that they can use to assess risk, you know?
And here's the problem also, and maybe it's an advantage to the entrepreneur, but if you don't have financial statements or you don't have financial statements that are intelligible, it makes it incredibly difficult for the South African Revenue Service to assess whether or not you owe it any money. And one of the purposes of accounting, of course, is to make sure that there's a check and a balance. And if you are earning money and you are making a profit and you are making profit over a certain level, you're obliged to hand some of that to the government. And I know you don't like it, but it should be precisely what you're doing. And, you know, there's a huge vested interest in government here that, you know, should be coming up with some sort of direction as to how this sector should be operating more professionally.
I totally agree with you. And in fact, I have heard that there are some really important discussions happening in government around this issue. Yeah.
Brilliant. Thank you so much. Really, really valuable conversation this evening. If you've got anybody who runs a small business, anybody who runs an accounting practice in your life, anybody who is in this sector and they are befuddled as to why they can't raise money, Bridget Evans has just explained it very clearly, I think. Executive Director at the SAB Foundation. Nobody owes you anything. If you can't explain how you make your money, what comes in and what goes out, nobody is going to give you money. It's not feasible. So don't pretend that, don't be outraged, don't be cross, fix it. Find a decent accountant that speaks English or any language you choose that is not accounting and take action on it. There's a pool of money that you will be able to access if you professionalize.